Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Number two on FST. Thanks for joining us. Happy to be back on air with my partner, Joe Galina. Find him on Twitter at Joe Galina. Find me on Twitter at Mike Blewett and hit us up today at FNTSY Radio. If you wanted to give us a call, you can. 844-843-6879. Sean Engel will be handling those calls, producing. Shout out to his mom, Victoria. So, Sean, if you're paying attention there in the pit, any big plans for Mother's Day tomorrow? I think you got to work, right? You're producing all weekend.
Yeah, I am going to be here tomorrow producing the show from 8 to 11. But after that, I am at least going to be settling down and watching some good old Game of Thrones with her later that night. We have a bit of a we have a bit of a weekly ritual where we watch every new Game of Thrones episode this season, and it's a pretty big deal to us. So, seeing as there's two episodes left, we're trying to make the most of it while we can and just enjoy the rest of the series.
I've not watched 1 minute of Game of Thrones, and I feel badly for that, but I think it is the type of show that I will watch someday. I just, just hard. I've talked about this before. I got little kids, and, like, the weekends are a little hectic, and Sunday nights are usually, during football season, I'm watching the Sunday night game, and when it's not football season, I'm trying to just put the house back together, you know what I mean? Tear it apart. I'm trying to put it back together, and I usually just hit the sack pretty early on a Sunday night. But
I'm almost jealous that you haven't seen it. Yeah.
Right,
I'm almost jealous that you haven't seen it. Yeah, it's almost like, you know, let's say when you have a young kid and they hear a classic rock tune for the first time, you know, you're kind of jealous that look, they're getting an opportunity to experience this for the first time. So, but hey, there's a big rumor about Game of Thrones for tomorrow night, and it's not a
spoilers.
Won't be spoiling anything. No, it's not a spoiler, but just that. And I don't know if you heard this, Sean, that Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers may be making a cameo. Did you hear this?
I did not actually hear that. But you know what? It wouldn't surprise me.
I remember reading something a while back.
It wouldn't surprise me because it's not the first time that Aaron Rodgers himself has made a cameo appearance on the show. He was in an episode of The Office a while back, too.
Wow, I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah. But supposedly, like, he was in Ireland last summer at one point, and he's wearing he's worn, like, Game of Thrones T-shirts. So it's obvious that he's a big fan, so we'll see. But
it's better than the coffee cup. It's better than the Starbucks coffee cup that was found. Did you see this? This was like a big thing on Twitter this week. Like somebody somebody from the crew left their Starbucks coffee cup there. So it was in the middle of a Game of Thrones scene. But anyway, all right. Well, good stuff. Enjoy the Game of Thrones thing. And shout out. Happy Mother's Day to Victoria. So, Joe, you had sent me. And so live on air in about 15 minutes, let's call it 17 minutes, I'm going to make a pick. In my IDP Dynasty League. I guess I'll spend the next segment setting it all up. But needless to say, this is the eighth year of this league. It's a Dynasty IDP league. So we're just drafting rookies. It's a six-round slow draft. And I'll break down how things have gone in it, where I'm at in my team's life cycle, and who it is that I need to pick. Needless to say, the release of Doug Baldwin and Cam Chancellor due to failed physical impacted me greatly and how the team will be looking moving forward. So I'll let you know what I've done in the first two rounds of that draft. We're currently up to the ninth pick in the third round, which is me. So All right. You sent me some other stuff, though, to give an early sense of what the IDPs are looking like. This is courtesy of Fantasy Football Calculator. There are these drafts for really from the last 2 weeks. So this is all very recent, but it includes, clearly, the rookies that have been drafted, which is an important way to gauge these early ADPs, because if you took it back from 2 months, the rookies would be too low. This is now taking into account what we expect. I think you have me here in a, this is non-PPR, which is okay. I'm going to go to PPR. So let's see where we're
at. Yeah, sure.
And the number one overall pick right now is Saquon Barkley. In a non-PPR, it's Zeke Elliott, but Zeke Elliott comes in at three here. So the top three are Barkley, McCaffrey, Elliott. Then you have Kamara, Gordon, David Johnson, still hanging in there. DeAndre Hopkins, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, Davante Adams. By the way, Le'Veon Bell committed to mandatory mitting camp. I don't understand that. I don't understand that story. He signed a $52 million deal. He showed up the first few days of the offseason program last month, but has worked out on his own since. They aren't particularly pleased that the Bell is not. Sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here, but it's relevant.
That's fine.
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, you know about Steeler players.
I know. I certainly do. Although the Jets have said all the right things about the offseason program being voluntary, they aren't particularly pleased Bell is not working with the team at the facility. They don't know whether they will see Bell before their mandatory minicamp. Anyway, he has committed.
Well, what do you think about that? I mean, in terms, like, because what I heard, his response was, hey, you know, I have a certain way of doing things, and it's, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, it's been working for me for years. You know, I do things a certain way, so that this is just, basically, he's not asking. It seems like that he's kind of almost doing this on his own, which, you know, is kind of concerning, because when you think about it, isn't that like one of the issues that he had when he was with the Steelers, where and it was another thing with the Steelers too, and when you bring up Antonio Brown, it's almost like these two guys were kind of like just almost like wild cards, where they
Le'Veon Bell also missed three drug tests, just so we're clarifying where his responsibilities lie. He missed them. It's why he got suspended that last time. He didn't show up for them.
I thought this was new. Okay.
No. That was when he was with the Steelers. His last suspension that he served was because he was missing the drug tests. He didn't fail them necessarily, but he was missing them. Saying that, I'm in Pittsburgh. Why didn't they find me? There was always a lot of excuse making, which was akin to me to a college student not turning in a paper on time, being like, oh, I didn't know. It was just always a ridiculous thing. You know when the drug tests are. Just get there. Take it. You can speculate all you want as to why he was missing them, but I can't declare him guilty without having evidence. So here's the final line of this story, by the way. This is courtesy of Cherian Williams on Pro Football Talk. It's voluntary, Adam Gase said. Everybody can get upset about it. There's no point. We know where he is. He's working out. He's always been ready. Every year that he's played, he's been ready to go. So that's just what it is. If somebody doesn't like it, then talk to the NFLPA. I don't even know if Adam Gase believes that, but that sums up my feelings perfectly. They can't go through an entire offseason and years of negotiating a CBA and declare workouts voluntary and then get pissed when the players aren't there. It's voluntary. I can't get on them.
Yeah.
I can't get on them for it. If in an ideal world all the guys were there during the voluntary workouts, I get it. Cohesiveness and bringing it together. But these are the rules. He's not it. And if he's off screwing around in South Beach, like we've seen him do in the past, then get mad. But he's always, since his second year in the league, Le'Veon Bell came into the league as a heavier back. It's part of the reason, likely, why he dropped to the second round. He carried a lot more weight at Michigan State. And he came in his rookie year with the Steelers. He had a banged up ankle, and he had a good but not spectacular first season. But his second year, he ended up dropping about 15 pounds, and baby, did he blow the lid off of the league from that point on. So whatever he did to get in that kind of shape, nobody can argue with it. Yes, he's gotten banged up at times, torn ACL. He had a groin issue during a playoff game. But I can't consider him to be a chronically injured player. He's just a running back that totes the rock a lot. And I am a Steelers fan, but I'd say be above being a Steelers fan. I try to be an objective host here, an analyst, and I can't get mad at him. The thing that bothers me about the headline and the story in general is, like, you're committing to a voluntary minicamp? No. There's no commitment that needs to be made. You just need to show up. That doesn't have to be a story. You don't have to tell me how you're committed to the voluntary, excuse me, to the mandatory. I misused my words there. To the mandatory minicamp. If you don't show up for the mandatory minicamp, that's problems. Fines, and it means that you want to do your own thing and you don't care about the team. Then I'll criticize you. But not for the voluntary stuff. I just have to be there. If the NFLPA and the league negotiate it, what Tom Coughlin did was wrong, and anything other than what Adam Gase said would be wrong, in my opinion.
He's doing nothing wrong because he's following the rules. But if I'm his boss, I'm concerned. Well, there's been a couple of stories about him being a little out of shape, over the past, several months. But based on what you're saying, that's been kind of like his history, and he's been able to get himself back into game shape. Well, he's a little older now, as you get older, I could tell you from firsthand experience, dropping the pounds isn't as easy as it used to be, 10
Amen,
years
brother.
Ago. Right. And, I don't know how you feel about this. It's a little concerning for me how his body's going to react to a year off from playing football. Now it may be just what he needed. This year off might have added two solid years to his career. On the other hand, it might end up, being a little bit tougher for him to get back on the horse again. I don't know how you feel about that, but I guess we won't know until he actually starts playing.
I'll pass it back to you for a second. He's ADP right now, the number 9 pick in a PPR league.
Right.
Would you take him there?
I'm looking at the running backs that came
Gurley
after him.
Gurley is right in front of him. Davante Adams, his former teammate, James Conner. Michael Thomas, Julio Jones are the few guys right behind him. Would you opt? Would you go in a different direction?
That's a tough one. I love Davante Adams this year. But I feel that that running backs are such a value that I'd like to get one in the first round. I think that Connor is less of a risk than Bell, and Mixon.
Bell will see more touches than Connor. I think.
Yeah.
And, unless you're projecting that he's going to have a hard time coming back, and maybe he's banged
up.
Football. Right. I would have a hard time taking Le'Veon Bell.
I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative drafter in the first round because obviously, like everyone else, you want to get as much value as you can. I think I might skip on him, tell you the truth, in that first round. It sounds like you might as well.
I think I would. I think I'm not in love with the Jets' offensive line still. I think he can be good, but with other guys around there, I think Davante Adams, for example, is a safer bet than Le'Veon Bell. Now, in the first round, you and I play in multiple leagues. So my strategy for the first round is, yes, be conservative, but really overall, I spread the wealth in the first round. What I generally do, since I manage 5, 6, 7 leagues, is I spread the wealth around a quarterback because I wait for quarterbacks and I just take different guys. Last year, for example, I had Mahomes, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Matt Ryan. Those were the guys I was targeting. Those were mostly double-digit round picks. I think I had one Drew Brees, which served me well until the very end of the year. But that's typically the way I handle the drafts, is the first round picks are going to be spread out. The quarterbacks are going to be spread out. Tight ends probably are too, because I wait there as well, with some notable exceptions. Last year I got Kittle at value. I took a shot at Gronk, which is rare for me, but it was an aggressive league. So did what I had to do. But so that's me. So I could have a share of Le'Veon Bell, but I'm not all in on him. I don't think it's smart to be all in on first round picks anyway, to be honest.
I like that strategy, and in baseball,
because if you're all in on a first round pick across multiple leagues, yeah. and that guy gets hurt, you're screwed.
Right, right.
You can't, it's really hard, near impossible, to come back mm-hmm. when your first round pick gets hurt.
Right. This year in baseball, I kind of followed that strategy that you just mentioned. So I have a lot of different shares of a lot of different players. And for the reason that you just mentioned, where if you have the same player on several different teams and they get hurt, then you're screwed. But also, it's just also from a fun factor as well. Just having exposure to different top-notch players. You know,
I'd be lying if I said that wasn't a component.
Yeah, yeah. Part of it is the competitive nature. Part of it is just enjoying managing, different players. So, but as far as Bell, I'd probably skip. But then, help me out here, Mike. Connor and Mixon from there. If you had to go like a running back, who do you trust more, a Connor or a Mixon? I mean, it's almost like a toss up here.
Yeah, it's a good question because I think they are going to try to limit Connor. More, I think he'll be really good, but I don't think they want to get him in the 400 touch range like they had.
Because of the way he slowed down last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think part of it generally yes, but I think generally most teams will tell you that their guys aren't going to hold up if they give them the ball 400 times. There's only a few guys that are really going to do that. That's Barkley, right. McCaffrey, Elliott. You don't really want to do that with Kamara. Gordon mm-hmm. got banged up. David Johnson, we've seen what happened to him in the past. Well, he's got an interesting year coming up because they've added a lot of pieces in Arizona, but again, that offensive line hasn't been fixed.
Still
same
suspect.
With the Jets, yes. To be honest. But the Mixon thing, I think that defense will still be pretty bad in Cincinnati, but I just wonder if Zach Taylor's influence can get the offense rolling. Like maybe Dalton has a good year and Mixon, they have address the offensive line, which was a big problem going into last year and the years before. Mm-hmm. So at this moment, that is kind of a toss-up, but I'd almost maybe lean Mixon because I think he would see more touches. That's really the nature of it. But so that's it. We went on a tangent there about Le'Veon Bell, but some other interesting choices up there in this ADP range. You have Michael Thomas, Julio. The wide receivers go DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams, Thomas, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham. And I know I've had discussions with other experts that think Odell might be the first wide receiver off the board, but we shall see. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this, but I'll set up my ADP fantasy pick next. It's Mike and Joe on FST. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Genesis on a Saturday morning. So we're talking football this hour. We'll get to some of the other stories in a minute. Jason Pierre-Paul obviously is a big story. Back issue looks like it's going to keep him out 5 to 6 months, which means I think the 2019 season is toast for him. That's even without surgery. Mm. If he has surgery, it's a done deal. But if you're going to be out 6 months at this point, I don't know. Would you come back to play from like week 8 on if you're dealing with a back issue? Like, I don't know if it makes sense, but he's got to talk it through with the team. But a tough blow for him, and they're
what a disaster, huh?
They're already dealing with the Gerald McCoy stuff as well. So that's Gerald McCoy basically saying, I'm playing this year. I just don't know where. The team hasn't been particularly good about it either, making sort of negative comments thrown his way. He hasn't really lived up to the salary, but he's still a good player and a very good player and can be disruptive. I just think this Bucks defense and its organization has been broken for years, and I don't know if they fixed it by hiring Bruce Arians. I guess one other last deal before I get into my Dynasty League is the Xavien Howard deal. So it's actually a six-year, $76.53 million deal. He got a $7 million signing bonus, $7 million fully guaranteed for the 2019, so that's 14. Base salary this year of 1.2, that's fully guaranteed. 2020 base salary of 11.9, fully guaranteed. 2021 base salary 12+, guaranteed for injury at signing, fully guaranteed as the fifth day of the 2020 league year. Beyond that, 2022, 6.775 guaranteed injury only. So the thing you should always do with NFL salaries, Joe, is listen to the first offer, say, wow, it's a lot of money, and then wait like 2-3 days, and then you get the actual numbers. So the base salary of the extension isn't $76.5 million, it's $75. So reality is, their money after 2021 isn't guaranteed other than an injury guarantee. So there's a bunch of guarantees out there. He's very highly paid. And I think more than anything else for our purposes, is Xavien Howard is the cornerstone of this defense now.
Yeah, and we talked about how the Dolphins basically just needed help at just about every position. So, I think it's a good move for the Dolphins. I mean, they did pay him a bunch of money. I think he's the highest paid corner at his position, coming off a torn meniscus situation. But he was tied for the league lead with 7 interceptions, even though he played just 12 games last year. So, one of the best at his position. So, look, they got to start someplace. So, got themselves a good player.
Yeah, they got building blocks for that defense with Howard, who's now paid. They have Minkah Fitzpatrick, who they drafted last year at safety, and they drafted Christian Wilkins to start this year. They have a defensive-minded coach.
Easier to build the defense than the offense, right? It seems you get more immediate results out of defensive players sometimes.
I would say so, yeah, because if you're developing a quarterback, they're going to work with Josh Rosen this year, and he's got a tattered offensive line, and he's working with Kenyon Drake and a receiving core that nobody is thrilled with because Devontae Parker is the primary guy on it, and he's underproduced and been injured. So we've said on this show last week, we think Josh Rosen is probably in the same position a year from now as he was this year, where the team's going to be really bad, they're going to pick high, and they'll draft over him, and he'll probably be moving on again. It stinks for him.
Sad.
It stinks for him. It's the only time in NFL history that it's ever really going to happen. So that is what it is. The Colts technically had this happen to them when Elway was the number one pick. But famously, Elway begged his way out of that situation, and Denver traded with the Colts to move up and take Elway at number one. They had previously drafted Arch Schliester in the top five in the 1982 draft. So they had an opportunity to do that same thing, but Elway was saying he was going to play for the Yankees and not play for the Colts. And then there's a 30 for 30 on it. The Marino Elway thing was really fascinating to give you the insights of it. But nonetheless, Arizona did that this year. Miami didn't have a top five pick this year, didn't draft a quarterback, but they will have effectively a top 10 pick from just a year ago, and next year they might be drafting over him. So anyway, that's it on Xavien Howard. Let's set up my IDP league. So I'll give you the bones of the league first, and hopefully I can get all this done in the next 10 minutes. But it is the eighth year of this league. It is a 32-team league, 16 teams in each conference. So the conferences act as an independent league. Understood? And then we do have a playoff bracket where the winners of the North Conference plays the winner of the South Conference for the Super Bowl, in effect. But those two teams could have the same players on it because we have to operate as 2-16 team independent leagues. It's all one big league, but the conferences, you draft into the conference players. The rosters are 40 men deep. Because it's an IDP league, we're working with QBs and running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, in addition to defensive tackles, defensive ends, and corners and safeties and linebackers. So it's unique scoring for some of those positions. You get bonuses for defensive tackles, so they have an inflated worth in this league if you have a dominant defensive tackle. That was done 8 years ago. This is the eighth year of the league, and it was done many years ago because nobody ever drafts defensive tackles in IDP leagues because they aren't seen as particularly valuable because they don't rack up tackles and whatever. So we gave them bonuses for sacks. That's really the only thing you need to know. Other than that, this is a PPR league. But clearly, there's a lot to manage. You have a 40-man roster, Joe. You're starting 20 players a week. 11, might be down to 19 now since we got rid of kickers. 11 defensive players, 8 offensive players. You can mix and match on some of those. There's, you know, you have to start one running back, but you don't have to start more than that. You can start up to 5 wide receivers, I believe, up to 3 tight ends, only 1 quarterback. And so there you go.
What a tough league. 11 defensive players you start. Wow.
Yes. There's a 5-man rookie squad as well. You have 3 IR, IR spots and a 5-man rookie taxi squad, practice squad. It's rookies only. Once a guy comes off and is active for a game, you can't move him back on. So there's no shuffling back and forth. Once they're promoted for a week, whether he plays or doesn't, that's it. So you have to be mindful about who you put on the taxi squad. So my history in this league is really good. The first year of the league, I won the whole thing. The second year, I went back to for this segment to check it today. The second year, I got to the championship game and lost. The fourth year, I won the league, went 15-0, undefeated. It's the only time I've ever done that in any league. So the first 4 or 5 years of the league were really good. Years 6 and 7 have not been so good. My players aged out. Calvin Johnson retired. Jamal Charles retired. I lost a little bit of juice in general on the roster. But I just missed the playoffs last year. It's still a good team. What I've sort of refused to do is do a full rebuild. I just thought I could piece it together with some trades and everything else. My quarterback situation for a long time was Phillip Rivers and Blake Bortles, which in this league is fine because you have 2 starting quarterbacks. When there's 16 teams and you have 2 starting quarterbacks, you're actually in pretty good shape. And Bortles, as much as a poor NFL player as he is, really helped me to win a championship game a few years back or do really well a few years back because he's putting up numbers despite
garbage
not being
points.
A very good NFL.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But now that Bortles is a backup, I had to address that. And I couldn't get Haskins. I couldn't get Murray because he was drafted before me. I picked, I picked 9th overall out of 16. So you could see where I was. I missed the playoffs, just a couple of spots out of the playoffs. But I'm not picking at the top of the draft. I didn't make moves to go up there because I think the price is too high sometimes to move up. Mm-hmm. So I ended up. Now, let me continue to set it up. And forgive me if you feel I'm droning on, just interrupt me. The Blake Bortles thing was a blow because he becomes a backup. So now I need a second QB other than Phil Rivers, who's aging.
But just starting one, right?
Just starting one. But you still need one because of bye weeks.
And
if he ever got hurt, I'd be done. I will always almost have the Chargers backup, who now is Tyrod Taylor. I have to see if he's available. I'll probably bid on him when waivers open. I'll need somebody like that. Running back, I really only have one true starter in Mark Ingram. I drafted Ronald Jones last year. We'll see what he can provide in Tampa. I also have Chris Carson from Seattle. Both of those guys, last two guys, will be caught in a committee. Ingram, frankly, is too. So I can see myself, unless one of these guys gets on a run or gets promoted, maybe I'm only starting one running back a week, which isn't good for the league. So running back is a problem for me, but I have to consider it a long-term goal. Since I couldn't get one of the elite guys this year, I passed on it in the first round because Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders and David Montgomery all went before the ninth pick for me. Now, what became a tight end, I'm pretty solid. I have Jake Butt, Jack Doyle, Greg Olsen, and Ben Watson. None of those guys did anything worth anything last year, but the group is good. They just all got hurt. And Watson is coming out of retirement to play for the Patriots, so I feel good there. But really what became – so you already can tell I have need as a second QB. I probably need a boost at running back. But really what happened was Doug Baldwin retired. Mm. And Michael Crabtree might be on his way out in the league. So those were two key guys that I lost. I have Golden Tate there and a bunch of other guys who are not worth much. Antonio Callaway, I drafted him in Cleveland. Now that they have Odell, he bumps down the depth chart in Cleveland. So with the ninth pick in the first round, I took Paris Campbell out of Indianapolis, the rookie from Ohio State. Again, this is a rookie draft only. It had DK Metcalf had gone in front of him, as had N'Keal Harry, who went number one overall in this conference. The other guy I debated was A.J. Brown, but I'm thinking long-term. I think Campbell can provide value this year, and I think long-term, my suspicion is that the Indianapolis offense remains better than the Titans offense from a fantasy standpoint, so I'll take a key cog there in Paris Campbell in the first round.
Yeah, and with A.J. Brown, you know, there's a lot of depth at the wide receiver position. So I think you made I love A.J. Brown, but I'm just not sure that, he'd give you the type of production that you'd need. And you need some production this season, right? It's not like
you
hold on to him. And hope, yeah.
Which is actually why I considered A.J. Brown, because I think he could actually be a little bit better this year. But I have to be mindful of building the team, and I thought Paris Campbell, and I love A.J. Brown, and I'm bullish on the Titans. I think I've been a big Titans supporter the last few years. So I really thought about him. I also thought about my man Devin Bush in Pittsburgh. But my linebackers are pretty good. I have Luke Kuechly. I have Matt Milano as a starter in Buffalo. I have Denzel Perryman coming off injury. And I have Jalen Smith from Dallas and Kyle Van Noy from New England. So my linebackers, I actually have depth. So I really had to address a need there and consider it long-term. So I took Paris Campbell there.
You're not worried that Tennessee with Corey Davis and Humphreys, that Brown, I mean, he'll have a nice year, but just like, you know, maybe might be capped at maybe 50 receptions on the year. Do you think he does much better than that? You know, like I mentioned, Davis, Humphreys, Delanie Walker coming back. Brown can make that much of an immediate impact?
No. I think counting on rookie wide receivers to do a lot is a fool's errand. They typically don't. Mm-hmm. Juju Smith-Schuster and Odell Beckham are more the exception than the rule. The year Odell came out, I remember this vividly, the 2013 season, it could be 2014, forgive me if I'm wrong on the year, but there were like seven rookie wide receivers in the top 50 in PPR leagues, and that is a total anomaly. Mm-hmm. So you look back at that year, and that's an anomaly. You got to remember, there's other years where Will Fuller, Laquon Treadwell, and Josh Doctson are all picked back-to-back-to-back in the first round. They didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Will Fuller scored a few touchdowns. He's been hurt since. Josh Doctson hasn't done anything. Laquon Treadwell has done less. So that's a typical rookie wide receiver class. So I'm with Campbell there. A bunch of guys get picked around. I'm waiting on some people. Second round comes by. I'm thinking, like, do I go with the quarterback here? Well, Haskins had gone. I think it's too early for Drew Lock. I still need wide receiver. My safeties are good. My corners are fine. Corner, you only have to play one a week, and I have Adoree Jackson, who also returns kicks, which is get you points in this league. So I don't need to go there. I have Malcolm Jenkins and Terrell Edmonds at safety, and I have also Malik Hooker. So my safeties are legit. Andy Isabella is who I went with in the second round. And so I have two rookie wide receivers, both of whom will probably never make it to the taxi squad in my league. I'll probably need them both on the roster because I'm cutting a bunch of other guys, notably Doug Baldwin and Michael Crabtree. I might keep Crabtree around to see if he signs somewhere, but Doug Baldwin, I believe, is retired. So Andy Isabella. I had other guys there. Justice White had been taken. Devin Singletary had been taken. Darrell Henderson had been taken. I was hoping Arcega Whiteside would fall, but he went seven picks earlier. also considered Terry McLaurin from Washington, because I think he could have the most immediate impact of the wide receivers we talked about so far. Terry McLaurin playing with his teammate Dwayne Haskins in Washington, I think, could have an immediate impact. So there we are. I picked two wide receivers out of the gate. I still need a QB. And I got the ninth pick in the third round. I'm on the clock right now. Guys are probably getting antsy because I haven't picked anybody. Truth is, I really wanted Benny Snell at running back here, and he got picked a few picks ago. But what I did in the interim, Joe, wheeling and dealing, I traded for Nick Foles for my second-round pick next year. Kind of expensive, but now I have Nick Foles and Phil Rivers for probably the next 3 years on this dynasty. I know I paid a second-round pick next year. I probably should have been a third-round pick, but I tried to make a fair offer, and it was accepted, and I don't know what you think of that. I don't think Foles is going to be a fantasy standout in this offense, but I know I have somebody here for the next 3 years at least.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And you know that he's you know that he's going to have at least a decent year. You know, I mean, you have a legitimate – you'd feel comfortable – in a bye week for Rivers starting Foles. I like the move. I even like what you did with Isabella, too. That air raid offense, it's going to be busy.
I like
it. Be a busy wide receiver.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Foles, and then I'll actually make my pick on FST. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We are back. It's FST. We're here until 11 o'clock today. After that, it's the Weekend Fantasy Update with George Kurtz and Cam Stewart. It's 11 to 2. And then In This League with Bogman and the Welsh. Bogman and the Welsh. That's 2 to 5. So Sean will be here producing the whole day. I'm imminently going to make a pick. I think I mentioned, I'm good at linebacker. Defensive tackle, I've drafted pretty well the last couple of years. I got Jaron Reed and Daron Payne, both former Alabama players. They've helped me at defensive tackle, so I felt good there. And really what it comes down to, Joe, is I was going to pick Benny Snell. I made the move for Foles to talk a little bit more about that. I think we both understand what Jacksonville is going to do. They're going to have a relatively conservative offense in Jacksonville trying to run the ball, but I think Foles can be more pointed with who he's selecting to throw the ball to. DJ Chark you have there. You have other players that will develop with him. They also have a young tight end in Josh Oliver in Jacksonville, which is an intriguing pick for me at this point. However, I'm really deep at tight end. Now, can I pick somebody like that, Joe, and then go to trade a couple of these guys? Would that be a possibility if I drafted somebody like Josh Oliver?
Possibly. I mean, without knowing, whoever needs help at that position. But
our friend Mike Florio needs our friend Mike Florio needs him. And
there you go.
I have Jake Butt, Jack Doyle, Greg Olsen, and Ben Watson. I think it's fair to say that Greg Olsen and Ben Watson are not long for the league.
Right.
So maybe I draft somebody like Josh Oliver and look to trade those guys for, lower level players or draft picks for next year. You know what? Move those things around. So, all right.
Well,
so here's what it comes
down to. Your trade for Foles. So,
buddy.
I'm not going to doubt you.
I was trying to go for Andy Dalton at one point, and then I just said, I think Andy Dalton could have a really interesting season this year. They've got some weapons there for him, obviously, with Boyd and Green and Mixon and CJ Uzomah at tight end. But realistically, if Dalton doesn't play particularly well, this is his last year in Cincinnati. They don't owe him another dime. They can get rid of him and move on. But with Zach Taylor there, could he infuse some Sean McVay-like techniques into the offense, turn things around. If Andy Dalton plays well in that offense, is he so much further off from Jared Goff as a talent? I don't know. I think Cincinnati's going to struggle defensively, but I'm just not guaranteed that Andy Dalton's going to be the Cincinnati quarterback after this year. So I thought Foles was a better option.
I agree. I mean, you know, for the next two or three years, you're set. You know, even if, God forbid, Rivers has an injury, he could slip Foles right in there. You know, I think he's going to have a good season, a solid season. He's not going to be great, but, I mean, his wide receivers are so-so. But, I think he'll give you a steady stream of fantasy production this year.
Yeah.
And
so since we're talking
forward,
go ahead.
You know,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, I was
crazy.
And going forward, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so now I have Foles and Rivers. I don't really have to worry about quarterback for the next 3 years. So since we're on Cincinnati, one of the players I'm thinking of is Trevion Williams. Now, you and I were in a mock draft, which we're also going to talk about at some point during the show. We're in a mock draft where we did a six-round rookie draft. It's the same kind of approach. It's, you know, it's just a mock draft, so we made up a scenario where it was a Dynasty League team. And in the fourth round of that draft, I picked Trevion Williams, the running back out of Cincinnati. Now, on my short list right now, Trevion Williams is one of these guys that I'm looking to pick. Sixth-round pick this year out of Texas A&M, but an interesting set of skills. And Gio Bernard is in the last year of his contract in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Mixon is the clear starter. I think Trevion Williams makes a committee-like impact this year. Maybe if a couple of guys get hurt, he gets thrust into a starting role, that's different. I'm not projecting that. I'm not predicting that. You can't predict injuries. But Giovanni Bernard, maybe they don't sign him after this year. He's had some injuries. He's been a really good player, one of my favorite players in fantasy. He's just a nice Swiss Army knife kind of player. Maybe Trevion Williams moves into the backup role. Now, Rodney Anderson, another running back from Oklahoma who was injured this year, he slipped in the draft. He was drafted by them too. So they actually have two rookie running backs this year, which I think is also indicative of the fact that they know Gio Bernard is not going to be on the team next year. Mm-hmm. So, do I take a shot at Trevion Williams at becoming something? Is he really any kind of an impact guy? My other options, Josh Oliver, the tight end from Jacksonville, whom I just spoke about a couple of minutes ago, because Jacksonville's skill player scenario looks like this. You got D.D. Westbrook and Marquise Lee, D.J. Chark, Chris Conley. There's your receivers. Keelan Cole is still there as well. We know about Leonard Fournette and Alfred Blue is at running back. Tight ends are Jeff Swaim, who they signed as an undrafted, as a unrestricted free agent. And now they drafted Josh Oliver from San Jose State. That's kind of interesting. Nick Foles likes a tight end, Joe. Now, he's a rookie. So maybe I back up those guys and start ditching, you know, Jake Butt and Greg Olsen and Ben Watson. And then Jack Doyle and Josh Oliver are my depth chart. Now, we also, since it's IDP league, I got a couple others here. I got Zach Allen. Now, Zach Allen is attractive to me because he's a rookie defensive end, and I'm a little weaker at defensive end. Also, he went to Boston College. That's all my alma mater. I love Zach Allen. So he's pulling at the heartstrings. He'll be playing behind Chandler Jones this year and guys like Terrell Suggs and Robert Kimdiche and others. Will he be in big impact this year? No. He probably stays on the taxi squad the whole year. And then we got another linebacker, Bobby Okereke, out of Stanford. He's on the Colts now. Colts obviously have Darius Leonard there, but they need another linebacker long term. Anthony Walker is the other starter there in Indianapolis. And maybe Bobby Okereke comes in on sub packages this year. And who knows? Maybe by next year, he's replacing guys like Anthony Walker. So, defensive end, linebacker, tight end, running back. Give me your thoughts first as to which way you
I like what
go.
You said about I like what you said about Trevion Williams. I was looking at his stats. Obviously had a excellent year last year, 6.5 yards per carry. But even more important is the comparison you made between him and Gio Bernard, where this guy looks like that he could be a nice complement to Joe Mixon and catching balls out of the backfield. And you know how valuable running backs can be. The tight end that you mentioned, Josh Oliver, seems like he's more of a pass-catching tight end than a blocking tight end. But when you look what he did last year, 56 catches. And Nick Foles, is like you mentioned, in Philadelphia, used to throw into a big tight end that could catch the ball. And this guy, Yeah. I mean, he could add yards after the catch. So I'm liking either one of them, but I think that just in terms of value, you know, I think maybe running backs might have a little bit more value. I might go with Travion Williams. That's just me.
I'm torn. I think I can wait around and still get Zach Allen. Maybe not. I think linebacker would be a vanity pick for me. I really like having linebackers in this league. But I ripped off the linebackers that I have. I have two really good – I have two elite ones in Jalen Smith and Luke Kuechly. And Kyle Van Noy and Matt Milano have been good. I also have Denzel Perryman coming off an injury. I think drafting into that is probably a little irresponsible. I don't think Okereke comes back for the next round, so I won't get him, even though I really like him as a player.
Who do you think helps you more this season? Either it's Oliver or
I think of the players we've talked about, the guy that could have the biggest impact this season is maybe the linebacker in Okereke, but I don't think I necessarily need that. Because if he doesn't, you know, for me to play him regularly, he'd have to be really good. Who helps me more this season? I think every ceteris paribus, to borrow a Latin phrase, all else equal, I think it's probably the tight end. Ironically.
Yeah, because you have Olsen and Watson, two older. Other than Olsen and Watson, who are the other tight ends you had?
Jack Doyle.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
in that
Jake Butt.
Colts offense, yeah.
Oh, man.
And you're starting one tight end, right?
I can start up to three tight ends.
Ah, okay.
I have to start one.
Maybe I'm rethinking it. With Olsen and Watson, two guys that are probably on their way out, you know, after this year, might not be such a bad idea to go after a Josh Oliver, especially if he could start up to three tight ends.
Man, but for me, the only thing that I'm really holding back on is me worrying about running back and like who can I pick up at running back at any point this year. I just don't know if any of these guys are going to have any impact at all, like any of the running backs that are left. I think Travion Williams is really the only guy left that I want to draft at running back, so it's really down to those two. All right,
it's a PPR
make a pick
as well.
It is PPR.
okay. So he had some value there.
I'm making the call right now. Deep breath, and I'm going to go with the I'm going with the running back. I'll do it.
Didn't surprise me, especially since you wanted to go Benny Snell and he wasn't there for you. So I mean that was the position it seemed that you had, you know, kind of committed to previously.
Yes, sir.
So I think it's a good pick.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. So it was a really obviously I debated that pretty heavily. I think I could have gone either way and would have been happy with it. It's really just difficult to kind of figure out exactly what to sort of like what to do in that moment when all these moving parts. So I think still I can utilize my tight end group, keep it thin this year, and still trade. I love Greg Olsen. He's been a part of like these teams that won, and he's been a stalwart in this league. And years ago, I drafted him like probably 15th, 16th round in a league like this. So he's been great. He's been started nearly every week for all those years. But I think I'm going to just have to trade some of these guys to people that need tight ends, you know, maybe even put Olsen and Watson in a package and you know, pick up just somebody off the waiver wire somewhere else to fill in certain weeks. I just had so many injuries issues last year. I would have done it last year and gotten more value. But anyway, Trayvon Williams is a guy that I drafted in our mock draft, and I draft him here. The biggest risk for Trayvon Williams is the fact that Rodney Anderson was also drafted. It's possible the guy that he was drafted with him could exceed his talent level and his production on the Bengals themselves. So there you go. That's my team. Did I spend too much time setting it up? Probably, but
No. And it's, you know, it's interesting. I probably should get involved in an IDP league as well. Just get the experience. So, but this one looks like it's a really intense one, right?
Very, very, the very intense one. And I can tell you, like, the names that are in this league are pretty good. I mentioned our man Mike Florio. I used to work with. I'll just go with Gary Davenport. Let's see. Kelly Smelser from Punch Drunk Wonderland, Jeff Manns and Ted Schuster, Guru Elite. They are on Sirius XM all the time. Mike Rathburn from RotoWire, Anthony Aniano from RotoBaller, Fantastics, Anthony Perry. Let's see who else is in this league. I'm just looking. Wally Sperlin, Steve Shiner, Jared Smola from Draft Sharks, Jeff Ratcliffe from Pro Football Focus. So,
wow,
that's just
bunch
my,
of
that's
heavy
just
hitters,
my,
man.
Yeah, that's just my conference. So the other conferences, George Kurtz is in the other conference, but you got a lot of guys in there. Dr. Roto from Scout, Mike Dempsey from Sirius XM, Bob Harris. Also from Sirius XM.
It's like a who's
Sirius
XM, who. Yeah.
Football diehard. So, yeah, we started this years ago when a whole lot of us were on Sirius XM. Other people like us have gone in different directions, but this league has stayed together, eighth year of the league, and pretty good. Gary Davenport and Jim Day, our very own Jim Day, were the primary organizers of it. Jim dropped out of this league at one point, but he's familiar with the league. So I did all that to kind of talk through players. We talked through the Jaguars and the Bengals and all this other kind of stuff, you know, in relation to the IDP links that you sent over earlier. From what I'm seeing in these IDPs here, I'm trying to find out the first rookie that's being drafted here. I don't think that they've been locked in here yet. Let me just find this. Josh Jacobs is going 33rd overall in, according to Fantasy Football Calculator, in these last couple weeks. So that's telling you, you know, seventh pick of the third round, sort of, is where he's going.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, A.J. Green are sort of right there with him. Amari Cooper, George Kittle, Devontae Freeman, that's the group. So Josh Jacobs there. Let me see when N'Keal Harry is going, because they went 1-2 in both of these drafts. N'Keal Harry's way later, ninth round. But I think this is more indicative of expert drafts than fan drafts. I think fan drafts push up, or mixed leagues between fans and experts, push the rookies up a little bit further. So, you know, that's what you're seeing right now. I think it's always good to kind of walk through the draft and tell you who's being drafted. So to give you a sense, in this Dynasty League, I said earlier, it was N'Keal Harry, Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, T.J. Hockenson, DK Metcalf, Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, and then I had Paris Campbell. We rounded out with A.J. Brown, Damian Harris, Daryl Henderson, Noah Fant, Devin Bush, Mecole Hardman, and Deebo Samuel. So those are some of the names that you're going to see in your rookie drafts, Joe.
Yep. I don't know what to say, my man.
So yeah, you and I did an IDP draft, or rather a rookie draft earlier this week. Why don't we take care of that on the other side of break, because it'll give some sense of what we did in that as well. We had a good time with that
all
draft.
All six rounds are out now. Yep.
Jim Day organized it, so I'll give you a sense of what happened in those rookie drafts. Maybe talk through some of those guys and their opportunities. We'll do a little bit more baseball on the other side as well. So come back with football on the other side of the break. It's Mike and Joe on FST. Hour number three coming up on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.